this evening. See everybody. Amen. I'm not going to sing tonight.
Praise the Lord. But wonderful to be a Christian. And I want to say we had a good time Sunday and really enjoyed everything and appreciate all the gifts. Thank the Lord for wonderful church and wonderful church family, and we just really appreciate each one of you, and thank you for all that you do, everything that everybody has their part. Amen. And just want to be faithful to what God's called us to do. And you know, there's no big I's or little U's. Everybody's important. Everybody has their part, so just thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to the book Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to read just a few scriptures this morning, this evening, and kind of looking. I didn't know what direction I was going to go tonight, but y'all just pray for me. And we're going to start somewhere and end somewhere. We don't know where, but the Lord does, so we just trust the Lord tonight. It's going to be a little bit odd tonight. I entitled this "In a Flash," God's light in a flash, and just want to look at some things tonight. And I kept trying to put all this together. It's just kind of work in progress. So years ago, these people used to sing and come to church, and like they would practice all the time, and they keep trying to get their song right and trying to get everything all worked out, and it's just like, "Well, y'all going to sing?" It's like, "Well, we're working on this. We got to get practice. And I told them, I said, "Why don't y'all just come to church and get up in the sanctuary during the church service and practice with us? That's when you can practice too." I mean, it's just like, everybody keeps trying to get all these things ironed out and everything like that. Well, sometimes if you just let the Spirit move, because sometimes we try to get everything perfect, but sometimes it's just let the Spirit move. And so that's the way it's going to be tonight. We're just going to trust the Spirit tonight. But let's just bow our heads before we read the scripture this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we're able to gather, those of like precious faith, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the day and hour which we live, Lord, that, Lord, the prophet said that if he could choose any day to live in, he'd want to live in this day. And Lord, what a wonderful thing to realize, Lord, that you called us to live in this hour, to fight this battle. Lord, there's many that the prophets and those of old, Lord, they looked for this time, Lord, and here we are at the fulfillment of your word. And Lord, let's just continue to fight the battle, Lord. Be ever faithful. Lord, your word's true. And Lord, it's carried us all this way, Lord. We know that it'll carry us all the way. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hand tonight. Lord, bless the word. Bless the hearers. Lord, just let us get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you can have the preeminence in the service. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I want to look at this tonight. Here in the scripture, Brother Branham was talking about God when he creating the heavens and the earth, and it's in darkness and it's without form and void and all this, and we don't know how long it was that he created the heavens and earth. We just know that he created it. But there came a time when the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, and he began to move. And Brother Bram said, you know, he brooded over the earth, and he began to move, and he began to do, because he had a plan, a purpose on what he was doing, and he moved upon the earth, and you know, and then he said, "Let there be light." And so, you know, we know how this story, it came into existence, and God began to speak and bring things into existence in the earth and bring it into the place that he wanted all of it to be. And, you know, a individual, our lives type this scene right here, because we came in darkness, right, without form and void. And Amen. We didn't have the Spirit of God with us. Right. And we dealt in darkness. But there came a time when God came and he brought this light and he spoke this light and it came into existence. Now, you know, sometimes when we look at this scene, we think in our minds, you know, we see this great light that come into existence, which it was a great light, but you know, it wasn't a great light so much in what we see, because God didn't blind us with light. He just brings light a little bit out of it at time. Right. And you know, we see this light come in, and you know, because you know, in John chapter 1 there, he was speaking of the in the beginning was the Word, and he said, and he in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. And you know, he came into existence, but he said, but they did not, he said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Because when the light shone forth into the darkness, they didn't comprehend what they were seeing. And there came, but you know, there was a group of people that did catch that light. Amen. But it came gradually. Right. You know, there was just that spark that came. And, you know, that's the reason I was talking about as a flash, because, you know, it's just a momentary light, or just a portion of light that came into existence that everybody could see. Right. Because it was just that part for you to see. Amen. And you know, when you go back and look, if you look at your life and you see that, you know, you're in this darkness, and everything is so dark, and you know, as Brother Ram was talking about, you couldn't see your hand before your face, and he said the darkness was so large and so heavy that, you know, you felt the darkness. Right, and you're in this place, but he said just the smallest amount of light, he said, it chases the darkness away. He said it just takes just that momentary light. And that's all it took, was that momentary, just that spark, just a small light. And you know, in our lives, we were living in darkness, and you know, all the things that we thought we had life, and we thought everything was good. But you know, somewhere down on the inside of us, when we took a real measure of our lives, you know what? We were in darkness. We were so ingrained in this darkness. You know, there was no way of escaping this. But you know, God came and brought light into our midst. And you know, if we all are all honest with ourselves, how many times did the light of God come into our lives and we turned it down? How many times did he come and try to deal with us and we rejected him? And you know, he came and he stirred our waters, and we just couldn't yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And you know, it was just like being in a storm. You know, you're in this darkness and you see this storm coming, and all of a sudden you see these flashes of lightning, and all of a sudden everything begins to light up, and you see these things taking place, and you know, you don't respond to that. You know, and this is where Brother Branham says one time, and he was talking about the lightning, and he said, you know, the light shines in the darkness. He said, it proves no matter how dark it is, there still can be light. Amen. And so, no matter how much darkness there is, there's always going to be light. Amen. And you know, no matter where you're at, there's always going to be light shining. Amen. And the message, this is where I kind of got my inspiration from. I was reading the message, The Oncoming Storm, 1960. And you know, Brother Bram tells the story about the young man that came to him in the meeting. And he couldn't wait to the end of the service to come. And he wanted to find God. And you know, Brother Bram was having a healing service, and he said, sure, son. He said, I'll lead you to Christ. But he said, I got to know God for myself. And you know, he came to Brother Branham. He said, well, Parson, he said, I want to tell you my story. And And, you know, he was talking about being up there in that pulpwood camp. And, you know, he was up there in that storm. And, you know, he was out there and, he kind of run from his family. He said, the rest of my family's Christian. But he said, I wasn't a Christian. He said, I just kind of lived my own life. And he said, you know, I was broke and I ended up in this pulpwood camp and they were going to give me a job. And he said, well, I can cook. Do you need a cook? And he's like, no, but we got this elderly black lady in here that cooks for us and maybe you can help her. So he went in there and they paid him some money to help her. And, you know, that one night he said, I was laying there and he said, all of a sudden, he said, there was flashes of light that caught my attention. And he said, I couldn't figure out what was going on, but he said, those flashes of light caught my attention. And he said, then I heard voices speaking. And he said, I couldn't figure out what was going on. He said, so I woke up and he said, I realized it was the boss and the teamster. And they were talking about the horses. And he said, the condition that they were in that northerner, he said, because he said, if we don't do something right now, he said, we may not be here much longer because that storm was so bad that he said, nothing would be left. And he was laying there and he was thinking, he said, I got so scared. And he said, I was laying there thinking about this. He said that elderly lady was in the other tent, another part over there. And she began to call to him. He said, son, come here. And you know, she began to speak to him and she asked him, said, are you a Christian? Are you saved? And he's like, no, I'm not. And she said, well, listen, you better get to him right now. Because you don't have much time left. You don't know how much longer you're going to be here. Because he said, you may have to go meet him really soon. And you know, he said, she said, knelt down right here and began to pray. And he said, I was so scared. He said, I could not pray. He said, I was so scared of what was going to take place. And he said, I prayed to the Lord. He said, if you get me out of here, he said, I'm going to find somebody to lead me to Christ. But he said, what was so amazed him, he said, he was sitting there, he's telling Brother Branham, he said, that elderly lady was sitting there, and he said, she was calm as she could be. She had her anchored into something that she wasn't worried about what was going to take place. But he was standing there, and he was so worried, and he said, when he got away from there, he got to this meeting where Brother Branham was, and he had to tell Brother Branham, he said, I want to find Christ. And you know, Brother Branham began to speak to him, and you know, he was so relieved, and he got down on his knees and was like, listen, it doesn't matter what condition you're in. He said, when God stirs your water, when God brings that light into your life and it begins to see you and you begin to follow that light, when you begin to go after that light and desire what God is calling you and you have a response to that, then God will meet you there. And then, you know, because that young man found what he was looking for that day. And he said, God gave him a chance. He said, but you may not have another opportunity. This may be your last opportunity. You don't know when you're going to pass away or what's going to change in your situation. But, you know, he gave this young man the opportunity to receive what he was looking for. And God called him out. The goodness of God called him to repentance. And he answered that call. And, you know, and that's the way we are. We have to answer the call of God, that we need to go after what God has called us to do. God is calling us to go after these things. And, you know, if you're not saved, then tonight's the night that you need to get right with God. But, you know, it's the same thing is whatever you have need of or wherever you are, whatever condition you're in tonight, tonight's the night, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we've got to get ready, because we don't know how much longer we're going to be. And tonight is the night that if you have anything that you want to get rid of, tonight's the night to get rid of it. If you're looking for an answer tonight, then God is here to give you your answer tonight. Whatever it is, because I realize, because one of the things I was looking at is I realized this is probably the last sermon I'm going to preach this year here. And this is just something that's on my heart to share, because listen, I don't want to carry over things. I don't want to carry over things into a new year. And I know it's not about making resolutions or doing all these kind of things. But, you know, now we come to the end of the year, we start to look back at our lives. We begin to look back over the year and all the things that God has done for us and where he's brought us to. And we take a inventory of our lives and where we stand today. And it's realizing, you know, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. and I'm not what I ought to be. But you know what? Tonight, I realize that I have the opportunity to be what I want to be. I have the opportunity to be molded into Jesus Christ and to lay down all of the sin and everything, all the weights that so easily beset us, and run the race that's set before us. I have the opportunity to do that tonight. And you and I, we have that opportunity tonight. So, I want to lay these things out. I just want to pour out my heart tonight, because you have to go after these things. You have to realize that what God has called you to and what God has given you, you've got to understand it belongs to you. It's God's word to you. You've got to take it and go with it. It's not for anybody else. You know, you think about Mary. You know, here she is, this young virgin girl, teenage girl, being espoused to an older man, Joseph. And, you know, here she is, and she's reading the scripture, reading the scrolls, hearing the priest talk about Isaiah's prophecy of what was going to take place. Here, all this time, she believes it. She hears it. She knows it's the truth. But, you know, here she is beginning to speak that, even having times where she's sitting there and her and Joseph are talking about what's going to take place. Because, you know what, this is the Messiah. They're looking for God to be made flesh, that the word is going to be fulfilled. And what a glorious day that we're looking for. And, you know, as she begins to see all these things, and, you know, she begins to ponder these things, that are what is going to take place and how wonderful it's going to be when we see these things. And, but you know what? God began to deal with her, realizing she was the one. It wasn't somebody else that was going to do that. And, you know, she began to deal. And, you know, when you think about it and you meditate on the word and you think about these things, see that God begins to deal with you. When you're meditating on the word, then he begins to come to speak to you. Because, you know, when you bring him into your presence, and, you know, you come into his presence, and, you know, you're welcoming him, and you want to meditate on him, and you want to thank him, and you want to pray, and you want to praise him, then, you know, he comes to you. And he begins to speak to you and have fellowship with you. And, you know, here's Mary there praying and thinking on these things and thinking about what a wonderful thing is, because, you know, it could be just any day that the fulfillment of God's word is going to take place, and we're going to have the Messiah, God made flesh, in our midst. But, you know, in the midst of all of that that she was facing and talking about it and having this fellowship, there was a flash of light, Brother Brown said, that came, and all of a sudden Gabriel is standing in her midst and beginning to speak to her. And he says, "Hail Mary." And so Brother Brown says, that means for her, you know, to stop and listen. But, you know, all of a sudden, here is this thing that he was speaking to her, and all of a sudden, here it is. This message is not for somebody else. This message is for you. Amen. Here it is. It's for you. And then he's beginning to speak to her. Because she believes this is going to take place. This is true. And he said, "Blessed art thou among women." Amen. See, you're going to be the one that's going to bring forth a child. You're going to be the one that's going to fulfill this word. It's not going to be somebody else. There's not no other virgin that's going to do it. Guess what? God has chosen you to do this. This is yours. And then all of a sudden, you know, no doubt, as Brother Ram said, you know, she was frightened. You know, you got confidence and you got faith all until God tells you, "Hey, you're going to do this." And then it's like, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to... How this young, insignificant teenager, how am I going to do this? It's like, listen, it's not what you're going to do. He said, but the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And you're going to bring forth a child. You're going to do this. Well, you know, she didn't understand everything, but you know what? She believed what Gabriel told her. What the angel had told her, and then she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Right. You know, she believed what was said to her. And she took it and realized, you know, it would have taken some time for her to come to the place to realize that she was pregnant. But you know what? She didn't lose her faith. She walked in the faith of that and began to testify. And you know, then when it tells her, you know, when the Gabriel is telling her about Elizabeth having a child in her old age, and you know, she's 6 months, and you know, then all of a sudden Mary is so elated that she's going to go tell Elizabeth what has happened. And she's overjoyed. I got to spread this and tell somebody. The God of miracles is come in our midst. But you know, sometimes because when God does these things in our midst, sometimes we can get to the place where it's just like, ooh. You know, it's like there's no excitement, there's no thrill, there's no zeal there. But you know, it's like when she got this message, why? Because it was something that she had been waiting on. It's something that she knew was going to take place. And all of a sudden, when it came to her, it was her word. It was, she was the one that was told that was going to do this. And then she got up and she was so elated, she had to go find Elizabeth to tell her, listen, the angel has come and spoke to me and told me I'm going to bring forth the Son of God. Well, here's the Messiah. It's the fulfillment of the word. And here I realize that according to what Gabriel said, look, you're expecting a child. After all these years of struggle and heartache, all of a sudden now you're reached, God has blessed you. Amen. And here it is. And then, you know, but, you know, Elizabeth hadn't seen him move or nothing had taken place. But I just, at the mention of the name Jesus, you know, she said, the baby jumped in my womb. Amen. And here it is, something that's taken place. See, it was a reaction. And, you know, each one of them having their own. But you know what? The world didn't know that. The world didn't respond to that. You know, even Joseph and you know, Zacharias, you know, here he is, the angel coming to him and speaking to him. Now here's a great learned man and knows the scripture and knows the law and everything. And here comes an angel and he has a supernatural experience. And you know what? All he can do is doubt and dispute with the angel. Here is God trying to deal with him and trying to tell him what's going to take place. And how can these things be? What's your credentials? And he told him, so listen, your mouth caused you a lot of trouble. So guess what? We're just going, till the baby's born, you can't say nothing. And it'll save you a lot of trouble. There's been times in my life, if the Lord had done that to me, it would save me a lot of trouble too. But here's Joseph. Here's Mary telling him this supernatural thing that happened. An angel had come and spoke to her and told her all these things. Well, you know what? Joseph didn't understand it, but you know what? He didn't dispute it. But what did he do? He was praying about it. He was seeking God. He's like, how is this possible? But God came to speak to him in a dream and told him not to worry about taking Mary as your wife. This is a supernatural experience. See, each one of them had to have their own experience. And it was up to them whether they believed it or not. But each one of them had to have their own experience. And you know, here's Mary walking all these years, you know, continuing on and, you know, having a bad name and how everybody just rejected her and all those type things and everybody ridiculed her and everything. But you know, it didn't diminish her testimony. It didn't diminish what was on the inside of her. What stirred inside of her, it still kept burning. Amen. See, she just kept on going and kept walking. And you know, even when she went through all the things that she went through, but you know what? She knew what was the fulfillment of that. Amen. But it wasn't for everybody. It wasn't a public show. Not everybody got to see that. But it was something that was real to her. It was something personal to her. And here she is carrying this child all the way through. Amen. Now, I don't know. I don't think she did. But, you know, I mean, You know, when you begin to read these scriptures, because sometimes the scriptures that are in the New Testament, when they talk about the birth of Jesus and everything, you know, sometimes in the Old Testament, the priest and all this, they didn't understand those things. Because when you go back in the scripture and the fulfillment of it takes place in the Gospels, they say that this might be the fulfillment of what Jeremiah said. It goes back to the scripture and points back to what the Old Testament was saying, showing that was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. They didn't see those things. So did she understand what was going to take place in the future? Probably not. But she walked in what she knew and what she believed, and she kept going. And it's like, well, you know, all of a sudden we've got to go pay taxes in Bethlehem. What did she think ahead of time? Oh, this is going to be the fulfillment of Scripture. No. She's just looking ahead and thinking, I'm this much pregnant, and I've got to travel all those many miles. I got to go all this way. And I'm sure there was a lot of days she was just sitting around praying that the day would hurry up and be over with, because I want to lay down. I don't want to travel anymore. But not realizing that was the fulfillment of Scripture. And here she is, no doubt, she's ready to give birth and all, you know, tired and achy and everything and all these problems and everything, and not realizing she's walking in the fulfillment of Scripture. And it's just like, we don't see that. And all of a sudden, you know, here she is, they can't find a place to rent, to stay in Bethlehem, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, we're batting 1,000. And not realizing but it's fulfilling the Scripture. It's fulfilling the scriptural type. And here she is, you know, they end up in the manger, in the stable, and here they are going through all these things, not realizing it's the fulfillment of Scripture. And all of a sudden, you know, she's going through all of this and labor and, you know, all the hardships that she went through. And here she is, ends up in this place. And all of a sudden, according to the scripture, when all this took place, you know, here there was the shepherds show up because the angels had told them, listen, the Savior's born tonight. Well, you know, they show up because, you know what? Hey, they're excited. Amen. Well, sometimes what happens is, you know, it was something that took place to Mary, but all of a sudden, then you realize, you know what? This was something. God's working on both ends. Amen. Not just on one end. This is not, because, you know, this is not just something that's done in a back room or, you know, hidden from everything. But God began to show her that this was true, and he began to bring those people in. And you know, you look at all the things that she had went through, all the ridicule and everything. But here are these men, the Magi. God sowed a sign in the sky, and they followed it for years. And here she is, you know, going about her daily life. They're going through their daily life, going through the things that they've been through, you know, just living an ordinary life, just paying the bills, going through, living. And all of a sudden, here these men show up. Yeah. And it's a supernatural thing happening. And here these men are asking everybody, where is he born King of the Jews? All right. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You know, and Herod's like, there's a king? You know, where's all this supposed to take place? You know, he's wanting to know what's going on and where are we supposed to find these things? But you know, here they are, they come all this way, bringing these gifts to Mary and Joseph and looking for this child that's the fulfillment of Scripture. This is the one that we've all been waiting on. And sometimes sometimes we get to the place where it just becomes common, and you know, it just kind of washes away, and you know, and then all of a sudden we get this thing that takes place and it snaps us back to the place and realize, hey, look where you're standing, look what you're doing, look what God has done for you. Then all of a sudden you're standing in the midst and realize, you know what, this is not just some little boy, but this is the fulfillment of Scripture. And you know what? And not only were you looking for this and seeking this, but you know what? There was other people looking for the exact same thing. And they came to the place, and here they are bringing their gifts unto this child, bringing the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, showing that what he was supposed to do.
He was deity dedicated to death. What he was going to do, he was fulfilling the scripture. Here he is in the midst of all this and all the things that went on. And sometimes, you know, we don't see the picture of the plan of God. All we see is just the things that happen around us. We don't see those things. But here she was. She came along and it really just moved. And all of a sudden, the supernatural began to happen. And see, it's the same way. See, we see these things, how it just began to take place in their lives. And here they are, all these things that were taking place, that was happening. You know, no doubt he was just, you know, Jesus was just a little boy that just grew up like everybody else. And, you know, he had to go through the same things that everybody else had to go through. And, you know, I mean, you know, he had to learn how to walk and talk and everything else, you know. I mean, but, you know, I mean, he came, but God began to deal with him from a young age. And, you know, when they went to the Passover and they were there in the temple, you know, he was talking to the doctors and questioning them about the law and everything like that. They did, you know, they were up and gone, and he said, well, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. Why? Because he knew who he was. But, you know, he began to grow in grace and knowledge and all these things. But, you know, there was something that was taking place. And here it is. You know, sometimes, we're just worried about the laundry and different things like that. And all of a sudden, God begins to speak to you and realize, you know, there's other things beyond those things. There's things that are happening. And sometimes we realize, well, it's just paying the bills and taking the kids to school and doing this and all the other things and not realizing the supernatural happens in our midst and we miss it. See, many times, you know, God is there wanting to speak to us, and you know what? We're too busy with too many other things that we miss God. God wants to have fellowship with us, and he wants to speak to your heart because he wants to reveal his word to you. And many times, we don't have time for him because we got too many times. We get too much stressed out of too many things and not realizing that what God wants us to do is put all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes because with my job, you know, I just get aggravated with people. Like I told you before, you know, you go in there and tell them, listen, this ain't the way it used to be, and this ain't the way it's supposed to be. And you got to keep pointing them back to what the standard is. Hey, we got a job to do, and there's a standard, and there's a way of doing it. And either do it right or don't do it at all. And it's the same way with the Word of God. There's a standard, there's a law, there's a process for everything. And you know, this is what we got to follow. It's not my idea. It's not somebody else's idea. It's not the pastor's idea. It wasn't even Brother Branham's idea. But it was God's word. It was God's thought that came forth. And you know what? All we got to do is say amen to it. Amen. And we got to claim it and believe it. Amen. See, we take those things and, you know, you see the things as they begin to move. And here's Jesus preaching and, you know, growing up and becoming into the ministry and began to preach. And, you know, he began to seek out the disciples and you know, all those things. You know, he began to minister to the people and he began to tell them what was going to take place and understanding the scripture, what was taking place in the day and hour in which they live. And, you know, it wasn't for everybody. Not everybody agreed with it. Not everybody believed it. But you know what? It was still the truth. And it was the time. And so because, you know, there was a group because, you know, as he said, you know, the ones that God has called me, he's given me, he said, they're going to come to me. Right. He said, you know, he said, as he told the disciples that day, he said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. Amen. And he began to call to them. Amen. And here they are, the disciples, you know, here they are just working their jobs and doing their daily duties and going through everything, going through the motions of life and all that. But, you know, when God came on the scene, you know, he began to speak to them and speak to their situations and began to speak to them. And, you know, Brother Branham said, here he is. And when he began to speak to like Peter, and he was talking about Nathaniel, when, you know, when they, you know, it's like, you know, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And, you know, all these things. But you know what? God began to, but when Jesus came into his midst, he began to speak to him in his situation, and he began to speak to him. He said, Rabbi, when did you ever know me? He said, I saw you under the tree. See, I knew all about you. And he began to speak to them. And you know, when it began to stir their waters, you know, when it began to move in the situation in which they lived, you know, as Brother Ram was talking about Peter and Andrew, I believe it was, you know, their father began to talk to him all about the scripture and about the Messiah coming and all these type things. It's like, you know, I may not be able to see this fulfillment. This may be in your day, but never take your eyes off of this. Always keep looking to see the Messiah's coming. And when he began to speak to these things, then, you know, Brother Brown said, you know, when the word came in there and they began to see the fulfillment, even the thoughts of their hearts, Jesus began to speak to them and began to speak. He said, when the light flashed across their lives and they began to see those things, he said, you know what? You didn't have to go back and say anything else to them. He said, you know, because he said, they went right to the altar and they got saved. He said, you didn't have to try to pull and tug on them or anything like that, because when something supernatural came their way and touched them, you know what? You weren't going to get them away from that. It was something that supernaturally took place in their lives, and you know what? They went after that. They were sold on that. Even in all their faults and failures and not understanding the scripture and all the things and didn't understand Jesus and his ministry and all kinds of things. But, you know, there was Peter standing there and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Even when he seen everybody walking away and all the confusion and everything, and there was a lot of confusion in him that he didn't understand things. But you know what? He never got away from that. There was something that anchored inside of him. He couldn't get away from that. And so, you know, he began to follow that. And, you know, it was like, Lord, he said, I don't know where you go or what you're going to have to face. You know, even when Jesus began to talk to him, he said, but you know what? I'll be right there with you to the end. He said, everybody else will forsake you. He said, but I'll be right there. I'm not leaving you. He's like, listen, Peter, you know, I love you, but I'm gonna have to tell you something. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to follow me. You know, and it's like, no. Yeah. Listen, Peter. Before the croc crows, you're going to deny me three times. Just, you know, I mean, he's just trying to talk to Peter. But, you know, Peter's so bullheaded. You know, I mean, he's just so strong. And no. But you know what? It was... He saw the fulfillment of God's word after Jesus told him what was going to take place. But you know what? He didn't do away with them. He didn't reject them. You know what? Even in the midst of all the things that they done, you know, when they had all their faults and failures and problems, you know, God didn't turn away from them. You know, there in the scripture, you know, when the scripture... It tells there when the man brought his son that was possessed of the devil, and you know, he and the disciples came and tried to cast him out, and he said they, and then the man brought him to Jesus, and he's like, hey Lord, he said, your disciples tried to cast him out and they couldn't. But you know what? He gave them the promise to cast out devils. And you know, he promised them and said that was the word of God to them. Spoke to them, listen, y'all cast out devils. Well, you know what they did? Yeah. But he said, see, you know, this comes by prayer and supplication. He said, this is more. You couldn't do this. But you know what? It didn't do away. Like Brother Brown said, he didn't do away with the promise. The promise was still there. When they failed, he didn't do away with it. They still had that promise. You still have the promise. Like Brother Branham said, he said, God's power is given to you. He said, but it's limited by your faith. He said, many times the problem is he said, we don't act on it. He said, because the power and the word is given to us. He said, but we don't, because sometimes we're afraid to act on it. Right. We're afraid to move up and do what God has given us the promise to do. Right. But you know, when the disciples failed, Jesus didn't say, you know what? He told them, listen. But he gave them a way. Listen, this is what y'all got to do. You got to grow. It's growing. There's a spiritual growth that's got to take place. And you know, he didn't do away with them, but he kept trying to grow. And listen, y'all come into this place. And all the way through, you know, he began to talk to them about these things. And you know, they didn't understand all the things that he done. You know, just like, you know, he had to go by the well one day, and you know, he was going to go by this, you know, maybe they didn't know what was going on, but Jesus did. Right. There was a lady that had a hunger in her heart, and you know what? And nobody else really cared about her. She was outcast. You know, sometimes people didn't even want to look in her direction. We don't want to be seen with you. We don't want to be associated with you. We don't need you around. But you know what? She's exactly the one that would receive the word. She is the one. Because Brother Ram's talking about, he said, you know, the Pharisees and all, you know, they heard all the scripture. You know, they heard him speak and they seen the miracles and everything like that. And it's like, he has a spirit. He has an evil spirit. He's Beelzebub. Y'all need to stay away from him. You know, you can't have anything to do with him. And it's like, but you know, here he is doing all the things. And he said, look in the scripture. Am I not doing the fulfilling the scripture? Search the scriptures. Is this not what the scripture said would take place? But here's this lady that's had a hard life. She went through all these things, and here she is, and nobody gives her any account or anything in her life. But you know, she's out by the well, and Jesus is there waiting on her. And it's like, can I get a drink of water? Well, you know, she's taken back by this. And you know, here she is, and she begins to speak to him, and he begins to speak to her. And he begins to speak to her of the scripture, and he realizes that she believes the scripture, which he already knew that, but when she begins to speak of the scripture taking place and what was going to take place, and he begins to converse with her on the scripture, because she's looking for the Messiah also. Now, nobody else gives her any credit for this, but she's looking for it, whether nobody else believes it or not. She's got her own testimony, and she tells Jesus her testimony. And then all of a sudden, he begins to speak to her, and she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And he said, because when the light flashed in front of her, when the word came open to her, that she called, and he began to speak to her, and he began to speak to her situation of where she was living and everything, and he began to meet her needs. And then all of a sudden, then she rose up, but she was like, well, I might share that with my neighbor. You know, I might share with the family when we're sitting around the dinner table. I might share it with a coworker in passing. No, as soon as she got what she wanted, when something took place in her and she had this supernatural experience take place, when she got a revelation of what was going on, she dropped everything and she took off running. Amen. And you know, she was sharing with everybody. Come see a man who told me everything about my life. Is this not the Messiah? She's sharing it with everybody. Whether anybody thought she was crazy or not, she's letting everybody know. Right. Why? Because it was something that was real to her, something that stirred her waters and it had moved in her life, and she's going to let everybody know. Right. See, it's the same way. See, when something takes place, has it stirred you to the place where you're bubbling and overflowing? Right, has it moved you to that place? Right. See, because many times it's just like, well, you know, we just go through the motions or whatever. But no, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need now is to have our for God to stir us to the place. You know, we've got these. Some of y'all know what water softener tanks are. It's got a bunch. The ones we have, a lot of them have sand in them. The ones we've got, it's got a special resin. It's like almost like sand, but it's in there. And it's got all this rock in the bottom of it, just like pebbles. It's all piled up. And we're cleaning. We've been trying to clean one out because we got to get it moved and put some new equipment in and everything. So we've been working on trying to get this thing emptied. Well, we just siphon. The first thing you do is just fill it full of water, put a hose in there, start siphoning that thing up. But, you know, after a while, that thing gets so hard, you can't do nothing with it. It settles in the bottom. It's been in there for years. And you know what? You're in there, and it's got a weeping system in the bottom of it. So it's kind of like got all these, it almost looks like, kind of reminds you of like roots. It's got all these holes it sucks the water in. Well, when you're trying to get that thing out, it don't move. I mean, it's like you almost need a jackhammer in there trying to bust that stuff up. But you know the first thing we do? We go get an air hose. And we get a tube. We stick an air hose way down in the bottom of it. And you know what we start doing? We start stirring it up. Amen. We got to get in there. Because you know what? That stuff just sits in there, and it's set in there for so long. It's so settled. It gets so packed in there. And you know what? You got to put something in there to get that thing stirred up. Because if you don't ever stir it up, it'll never change. There's never going to be a change take place. And so, you know, that's what we spend hours just. And you know, it's so funny because you're down there and you're suctioning and you're pouring water in. You're suctioning that out and you're pushing that all that air, blowing it up, and it's just stirring all that stuff up. And everybody's over there and they run over to the water and they start looking. Like, are we getting anything out? Oh, yeah, we're getting pebbles. Getting stuff out. But, you know, ever so often when you get in there and you just keep going at it, keep going at it. But all of a sudden you'll hit like the mother load, and all of a sudden this stuff comes blowing out. You just see all this water just come, all this stuff coming out in the water. Yeah. And it's like, man, that's it right there. Now look, we're actually moving something. Yeah. Right. And so sometimes that's what God wants to do with us. Why? Because we've sat and we've got settled for so long. And sometimes we've got so sedentary in our ways that when God wants to move, you know what? It's like, well, Brother Bob, you go ahead, brother. I'll be right there. No, God's wanting you to stir your waters and see if you're going to react to it. Not wait for somebody else. It's like, well, you know, if somebody else will run the aisles, maybe I'll get behind them. Well, you know what? If you get excited, I think you ought to. And you know, everybody's like, well, you know what? Somebody's going to say something. Well, you know, and everybody says, well, you know, you don't jump any higher than you can live. Well, I just tell you. How I say, you know, the problem, because you know what? Everybody's like, well, you know, you're all going to have faults. You're all going to have problems. You're all going to make a mistake. It's like, oh, we're waiting. They ran the aisles. Oh, look there. Got to write all this stuff down. I can't believe you ran the aisles and you. Well, you know, you can't point your finger at anybody else because you got the same kind of issues. And the problem is, you know what? Because you know what? If somebody falls and they have an issue or problems or whatever, guess what? The grace of God covers all of that. Amen. And you know what? If you go back and you look to see where you came from and to where you are today and you can't get excited, then you know what? I think we got a problem. I think we ought to be in the altar. And if you can't see that somebody else can get happy about their salvation and you can't be ridicule somebody about it, you ought to be in the altar because I think you need to get right with God that you can't be excited for somebody else. You know, when Brother Branham was watching that young lady, she was out there in the aisle. She was dancing. And, you know, he was like, you know, his Baptist doctrine just got too much inside of him. But then all of a sudden he got in the scripture and realized, you know what? That was a sign of victory. So, well, you know what? When he got the victory too and realized, you know what? I can dance also. Well, you know what? He went out there and joined her. Amen. And it's the same way. If God can move, if God's done something for you, then you know what? You ought to be able to raise your hands and express what God has done for you and raise your hand and thank God and stand up and testify about it. And if it causes you to move your feet, then move your feet. You know, it's because when we were out in the world, You know, we didn't worry about, we didn't have no condemnation about anything. And you know what? If we went somewhere and wanted to dance, then you know what? We just cut a rug. Is that not right? I done the white man dance. I had to, like they said, I had to white man overbite. But you know what? When we wanted to dance, we did it. And you know what? We didn't care what everybody else was thinking. We were having a good time. But you know what? Now it's like, oh, we better not do that. We better not raise our hands. We can't, we, the deacons might call us and have a conversation with us. You know, the pastor might call us into the study. It's like, no. If you've done that, sometimes people say, why haven't you done that sooner? Because if God's real in your life and he's done something for you, then we shouldn't worry about what everybody else thinks. God is real, and if he moves, then guess what? Stand up and raise your hand. Somebody, you don't, you come up here and somebody, raise your hands, clap your hands, do this or that. You don't have to do that. If something's just like, if something's bubble up inside of you,
amen,
then release it.
Amen.
As Brother Wade always says, let it out. If it's on the inside, let it out.
Amen.
See, it's come to that place where you can just let it out. Enjoy your salvation.
Amen.
Live your salvation to the fullest.
Amen.
Not have these things hold you back.
No.
Because you know what? We've allowed the devil to hold us back for too long.
Amen.
We've allowed the devil to steal our joy and our peace.
Yep.
And everything that comes with the blessings of God, which is our benefits. And you know what? We've lived below our privileges for so long, for too long, and we ought to just enjoy them.
Amen.
Take these things and live the life. Enjoy your salvation.
Amen.
See, God has called us because you realize where you came from and where you're going, what God has done for you. See, when you see these things, be rejoiced. Because when something stirs, when that light flashed across your path, when you were in darkness and you see these things, and even today, you'll be looking at something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will move and it'll bring something to your remembrance. He'll show you something in the Scripture, and all of a sudden something that you've looked at for years, and all of a sudden it comes clear to you. And it's like, well, you know what? I want to tell you something. I can see this. I understand these things. Why? Because, you know, we've probed at them and looked at them and so long. It's like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get these things. Well, you know, because people, you know, they still struggle with, you know, the word. They don't understand the seals. They don't understand the 70 weeks of Daniel and all these things. You know, they struggle with these things that are in the Scripture. But the Bible says a real true eagle will understand.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the prophet said. Well, you know what? I'm just going to take the prophet at his word.
Amen.
He brought it to you and I for us to understand these things.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know what? If it takes me forever, that's all right. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on pressing.
Amen.
And you know, all of a sudden you look at things like, well, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. People say things and it's so confusing. I don't. And all of a sudden, when it comes to you and it opens up and you realize, it's like, it's so simple.
Right.
And I don't understand how I didn't see that.
Yes.
But one of these days you realize, you know what? It's God's sovereign time.
Yeah.
In His time, He opens these things up.
Right.
He begins to reveal His word to you. See, it's by God's grace, the light shines across your path. And because you're a child of light.
Amen.
And you begin to see the light of God's word, and it begins to open up to you.
Yes,
and you know what? He has more light for you to walk in.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever told this. I've shared it with a few people, but I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly or not. But, you know, I was thinking about years ago, I was talking to Brother Dale. And you know, I had this dream, and I was walking in light, but it wasn't bright light. It was almost like dusk, but there was light that I was walking in. And I began to walk, and I got to a point where the light started to go away. And I just kept walking and walking, and I got into darkness. And I was walking down this path, and I got to the place where I was by myself, and I was in this darkness. And I come to this place, and I realize, you know what? I'm going the wrong way. And I turned around and I started walking the way from where I was walking. And I didn't know where I was going to walk, but the only thing I could see in the distance was the light. And it started like the sun was coming up. And I began to walk toward that. And I kept on walking, I kept on walking. And I got to a place, Brother Bob, where when I got into this area, it was like I was walking into the sun. And it was just like this. You couldn't imagine the amount of light that was shining in this place. It was so bright. And it was like, I was amazed that I wasn't blinded by it. But I just kept walking in that light. And you know, it just kept growing and growing. It was just increasing. It was just amazing. And I just felt like I was walking right into the sun. It just kept going and going and going. And, you know, I was telling Brother Dale one day, I was telling about my dream. And he told me, he said, just walk in the light. Because, you know, wherever you're at and you come to a place and realize you're not walking where you ought to be, when you get on the right path, just keep walking. And you're there in the scripture, it tells us that, you know, he said that there would come a day, you know, the light, the sun would shine as seven times there in the scripture in the Old Testament. You know, you'd see this light, and you know, it was so bright, and you just kept walking in it. But you know, that's what God has called us to. You know, because how bright you think the light is, and you think, well, I'm walking in light, or I can't attain to that. You know, if you just keep walking in God, you know, no matter where you go, you think, well, I can't attain to that. You just keep walking and see if God don't bring you to that place. Amen. You just keep walking and it just keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And you know, you think, well, I can't get to that place, or you know, I'll never get there. You just keep walking in the light that you're in right now, because if God has called you and he puts you on the right path, then you know what? It'll just continue to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And you know, you just keep walking, because you know what? That same light that you're walking in today will continue to grow, and it'll take you right to a body change. The light is here, and all you got to do is walk in it. And when the light shines in your pathway and it begins to light, you just keep walking in that light. And you know what? Because one of these days it becomes so great, you're like, wow. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do, to walk in that light. Many times we look at ourselves and we don't realize what God has done for us. And sometimes our problem is not looking at ourselves, but looking at what God said about us. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Continue to walk. I pray it's been a blessing to you. Let's all stand and have the musicians come. Continue to walk in that light. Let's sing that tonight. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. If you've got confusion, you've got darkness in your life, you've got things, whatever it is, you know what? You just walk in the light, because you know what? Cast out all darkness. Yeah. It cast out all powers of the enemy. Everything from the devil that he holds you back with, you know what? That light will cast it out. Yeah. Amen. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Clear. You tonight. Amen. Have you got anything? All right, turn over.
Amen. We're going to be leaving Sunday, and we want to take some more prayer clocks down there to them. And Brother Luis, Sister Christine, would you come? We'll pray for Traveling Mercies. Everybody pray together. Brother Luis, there you come. He had to put all his gear up. But y'all come on and we'll, I'm sure we can find a use for these somewhere. Yes. So, Brother Aaron, you're the minister tonight. You pray for us. Come.
Amen. Brother Bob? Yeah. Come on, Brother Mark.
We'll be leaving Sunday and coming back next Sunday, so just keep us in prayer.
Amen. So we're leaving. We'll be leaving Sunday.
Sunday morning early.
All right. Let's just all pray. Lay your hands upon me.
Heavenly Father,
Lord
Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus, that we can, our brothers and sisters can travel overseas, Lord, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters there, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that you'll touch each one of them, Lord, as they travel, Lord, just give them safe travel. And Lord, as they travel through the country, Lord Jesus, and as they minister to the people, Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, that the word will come, Lord Jesus, that you give them the words to speak to the people, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that it'll be a blessing to them, Lord. But Father, also that, Lord, that these prayer calls that goes forth, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, your scripture tells us, Lord, you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them from their destruction. And Lord, I believe that as they go and minister the word to them, Lord, that supernatural things will take place. And that, Lord, people will be delivered, Lord Jesus. And lost souls will be saved, Lord Jesus. Lord, that everything will take place in a supernatural way, Lord Jesus. And not only these prayer calls, Lord, that we send, Lord Jesus, which is a scriptural thing that is in the scripture, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is a principle that's in the scripture, Lord Jesus. And we send these prayer calls with them, Lord Jesus. And we realize that according to as the scripture in Acts 19 says, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, there were evil spirits and cast out and many healings took place, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray that as they go forth, Lord, that every bondage of yoke that is upon the people, Lord Jesus, will be broken. Every power of the enemy will be pushed back, Lord Jesus. And Lord, not only just supernatural things, but Lord, but the illumination of your word will come to the people, Lord Jesus, and they'll be able to see things, Lord, that they've never seen before, Lord Jesus. Lord, the things that are in the scripture, Lord, that they have confusion on, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll be able to show them through the word, Lord Jesus, who they are and, Lord, what they're here for, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, this end time revelation, Lord, that's come, Lord Jesus. Father, we realize that in the time, Lord, that was a Son of Man ministry came, Lord, to draw the people in, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can step into that realm of who we are and who we're supposed to be and come into speaking conditions, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can come to the place, Lord Jesus, that we are the children of God. And Lord, we can come and have the authority to speak the word, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, to come to a place of a body change, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for people that have a heart to send people, Lord Jesus. And a heart of these that want to go, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for those that are in Honduras and Nicaragua and the different countries over there, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they have such a zeal to get the word out to the people, Lord Jesus. Lord, through all the hardships and difficulties they go through, Lord Jesus. Lord, when all of the problems that they face, all the hardships they went through, Lord, we've seen you come on the scene and do supernatural things in their midst, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just commit it to you, and we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that we'll be at home praying for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll strengthen them, Lord. And Lord, they have such a place in our heart, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we can't even put into words who, but they're our brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. Lord, we may not speak the same language, Lord Jesus. We may not have the same culture or anything, Lord Jesus, but we're all one in you. And Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. And Lord, we know that we'll hear a great report coming back from them. And Lord, we commit it to them. Lord, touch them, strengthen their bodies, Lord. Our pastor, Brother Luis, Sister Christine, Lord, as they travel, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know that our brother Luis, Lord Jesus, he's been there many times, Lord, and he's had sicknesses and illnesses, Lord. He's had problems with his sinuses and everything, Lord, as the devil's come against him, Lord, as he tries to preach the word and he went in there to interpret, Lord Jesus. But Father, we lay hands upon our brother, Lord Jesus, that there will be a yoke of protection upon him, Lord, to come from his head all the way to his feet, Lord Jesus, that this time he will not have to have these sinuses problems, any kind of illness or whatever comes upon him, Lord Jesus, because we have prayed and believed, Lord, that the angels of God will camp all around him, Lord Jesus, that touch his body, Lord Jesus. We'll see supernatural things come through him, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our brother that has such a zeal, Lord, to have such a desire to help people all around the world, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've given him this opportunity, Lord Jesus. You've blessed him, Lord, that he can speak their language, Lord Jesus. And Lord, he has such a servant's heart, Lord Jesus. And our sister Christine, how she just pours her heart out to the people. Lord, we thank you for that.
Yes.
And Lord, we know that, Lord, that you'll bless them abundantly. Lord, more than they can ever ask or think. Lord, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Just keep us in prayer. Brother Borlevon will be here Sunday. And Brother Richard Douglas will be here Wednesday. And then Brother Bob will be taking the, I believe it's the 22nd, that Sunday service. We won't be home till midnight, so we won't see you on Sunday. But we love you. God bless you. Just keep us in prayer. And we'll be keeping you updated as we travel. So just keep us in prayer. We'll take these prayer cloths. And I'm expecting a miracle. I don't want to just go over there and be something. I want to show God to the people and see a miracle.
Amen.
More than one. Miracles happen. Greatest miracle is what? Revelation.
That's right.
Revelation is the greatest miracle you'll ever have.
Amen.
Healing of the body is okay, but bringing us up just a little bit more in Christ, that's the greatest thing that we can ever want. So just keep us in prayer. Keep Sister June in prayer. She'll be... We taking Christine with us, but we're not Sister Jim. And Bella and Zoe, they're going to be orphans for a week. So Jim's going to try to help take care of them a little bit. And we sure appreciate them love them. We love all of you. Just come to church Sunday, regular church service Sunday, regular Wednesday, and regular next Sunday. Then, you know, Christmas Day, we won't have a Wednesday service, but we will have a Sunday service the next Sunday. Then we'll have our watch night service with Brother Andrew Glover. We'll be here with us that night. So get your songs ready for that weekend that week night service of coming up to January the 1st, 2025. Goodness gracious. Wow. But it's like Brother Aaron said, we got to keep going. If it comes to 2026, we got to keep going. Somebody's going to see this thing end. And I just pray that we're in right position to be able to see that.
Amen.
So we've already prayed, so God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a good evening. Be careful on the highways. Just go with the Lord.